welcome to this edition of the Fireside Bookshelf. Join our host Ginger Green as she opens doors to the literary world, both past and present, featuring some of the best Christian books pertinent to believers and their pursuit of biblical truth. Each week, she will discuss selected resources which have touched her heart and life, with a hope they will enhance your study of the Scriptures and encourage you in your spiritual walk. From foundational Christian truths to marriage and parenting to understanding the times we live in, Ginger has assembled some amazing Christian authors, and each week we'll explore their works, all designed to help us grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. And now for today's presentation.
When David volunteered to meet Goliath's challenge to Israel, King Saul was concerned about what David would wear into battle. In fact, Saul placed his own armor on David, but it didn't fit, and it would have proved more of a hindrance than a help in David's battle plan. He was better off without the king's armor, carrying just his sling and 5 smooth stones. But there is no reason for today's believer to be gazing off toward the battlefield mumbling, "I just don't have anything to wear." In Ephesians chapter 6, God tells believers exactly what to wear to the war, and his armor is tailor-made. So come be a part as we suit up in What to Wear to the War, written by Warren Wiersbe. In it, we'll be introduced to each piece of armor God has provided, and we'll learn how to use that armor in our daily skirmishes against the foe. Now, some people reject the military side of the Christian life. Wiersbe appreciated those who wanted to see peace on earth. But as long as sin exists in this world, the battle between Satan's forces and God's people will rage on. Anyone who chooses to be on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ will face severe opposition from Satan and his followers. And those who refuse to fight will fall in the heat of the battle. The Bible frequently uses the images of war to depict the Christian life. Paul exhorted Timothy to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ in 2 Timothy 2:3. In fact, the first picture our Lord gave of the church was a military one. He told the disciples that the gates of hell would not prevail against the onslaughts of the church, Matthew 16:18. In ancient times, a common military tactic used by armies was to break down the gates of an enemy's fortress with a battering ram. Once inside, they could then destroy the opposing army. Likewise, Jesus told us that Satan and his forces cannot withstand or prevent the onward march of Christianity. The church will win the war. As we stated before, and even dedicated an entire show to it, the Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. And whether or not we like it, every Christian is called to be a soldier and to fight the good fight. 1 Timothy 6:12. No good soldier enters a battle without being fully prepared and protected. Wiersbe assures us, God does not expect us to go to war unarmed. He has given us the armor and the weapons we need for the fight, and he expects us to use them. Ephesians 6:10 through 13 tells us, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." What is the armor of God that we are to wear? Paul lists the different parts of the armor that we are to put on by faith: the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And while putting on the armor is important, our posture in battle is even more vital. Notice in the verses we just read that Paul places emphasis on the word stand in this passage. Why is there an emphasis on standing? Many people misunderstand the purpose of the Christian armor, Wiersbe reveals. The purpose is to help us stand so that we do not lose the ground that Jesus has won for us. In fact, The entire book of Ephesians talks about our posture as Christians. The first two chapters describe the wealth that we have inherited through faith in Christ. In chapter 4, Paul moves from talking about our wealth in Christ to our walk in Christ. Anyone who is seated with Christ on his throne and is walking with him, revealing him to an evil world, is going to be attacked by the enemy. Wiersbe asserts spiritual warfare goes hand in hand with our wealth and our walk. The privilege of partaking in the riches of Christ's grace and glory as part of his body is not without its responsibilities. We should not expect to sit and walk with him unless we are willing to stand for him in the battle against Satan. He has already won the war for us. It is our responsibility to hold on to his victory. It is important to remember that the purpose of our Christian armor is not for use in gaining new territory. Of course, we are involved in a conquest. When Jesus said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it," he was talking about the movement of his army, the church, in gaining territory and claiming the spoil. But even as we are conquering, we must remember that we do not fight for victory, but from victory. Christ has already won the victory for us, and we have already entered into our spiritual inheritance in him. Thus, our role in the battle with the devil is that of claiming and holding on to the territory and inheritance won for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. We find a beautiful illustration of this truth in the book of Joshua. The children of Israel were preparing to enter the promised land, their inheritance. God, in essence, told them, "Start walking. You already have the inheritance. Now claim it by faith." While the Israelites had to fight the inhabitants of the land, they did not do it to conquer new territory, but merely to claim the inheritance that God had already given them. However, knowing the land was theirs and claiming it by faith was not enough. The children of Israel also needed to have strength and courage. Having strength and courage is important not only for the battles, but also for the so-called times of peace. It is at these times, when we have let down our defenses, that Satan often attacks the hardest and claims the most victories. This is what happened to the Israelites. Under Joshua's leadership, they conquered the land and claimed their inheritance. But a new generation came along that did not appreciate their inheritance and did not know the Lord as they should. Their strength and courage waned. As a result, they did not stand against their enemies and lost their inheritance. Sounds a lot like what's going on in America today, doesn't it? We have forgotten the spiritual heritage this country was founded on, an inheritance that our forefathers sacrificed, fought, and died for. Have you ever wondered how people can forget the Lord and what he has done for them so quickly? It may be that the older generation did not keep the Lord's command to teach their children the law given to them in the wilderness and to convey to them how he brought them out of Egypt. Likewise, our responsibility as parents is to teach the Word of God to our children so that they might teach it to our grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Now, it is also possible the older generation taught the younger one, but that the new generation didn't listen. They were content in the land and did not think they needed God anymore. Whenever this happened, the Lord permitted Israel to be conquered by various nations. Time after time, the children of Israel would sin by rejecting God, and he would allow the surrounding nations to invade and take over their inheritance. Each time, the Israelites were unable to stand against them. Why couldn't they take a stand against their enemies? Because they were bowing down to idols. They had turned away from the one true God. Each time they were enslaved by other nations, they would cry out to God, and he would eventually send a judge to deliver them. But as soon as they had their land back, they would return to idol worship and other sins. They never learned their lesson to worship only God. Like the Israelites, we have a tremendous inheritance in Christ. How do we translate that wealth into a daily walk with him? By bowing. We bow down before the Lord in worship and pray to him, thereby practicing our position in Jesus Christ. Even though positionally we are seated with Him in the heavenlies, practically we are still here on earth. The only way to translate that position into practice is by bowing before the Lord continually, remembering our inheritance in Him. When we try to walk without first bowing before the Lord, we will stray off His path, compromise, and lose ground. As a result, we will not be able to stand against the enemy. But before we can stand against Satan and his army, we must first bow before the Lord in prayer and worship, and then put on the whole armor He has given us. We wear the armor not to gain new territory, but to prevent the devil from robbing us of our inheritance. Satan wants to spoil and pillage our wealth and enslave us. But when we stand in the strength and power of the Lord, we will be victorious in our fight. As soldiers of Christ, we not only need to be ready for our ongoing battle with the enemy, but we also have several responsibilities that we must fulfill if we are going to hold on to our inheritance and fight from victory, not for victory. Our responsibilities are threefold, Wiersbe explains. First, we must know our enemies. Second, we must use the equipment. And third, we must depend on the energy that God provides. Who is the enemy? Ephesians 6:11 tells us, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Because of God's grace, those who accept Christ are seated with Him in the heavenlies. God has blessed us with every spiritual resource and blessing because of our position in Christ. But the enemy, by his wiles, devices, strategies, and craftiness, attacks believers, trying to get us to doubt God's word and divide our allegiance to Him. Satan knows that if he can cause us to become fearful, he can rob us of all the riches we have inherited. Knowing that we are seated on Christ's throne is worthless if we are afraid of the enemy. Our fear enables the devil to steal from us the enjoyment of our blessed position in Jesus Christ. We have three spiritual enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Paul made it clear in Ephesians 6:12 that our problem is not people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. When strife and problems exist, our problem is not with the person, but with Satan, who is working in and through that person. Satan can even use a believer. In fact, he used Peter. When the apostle was trying to divert Jesus from his plan for mankind, Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Matthew 16:23. The enemy loves to control us, causing us to do and say things we shouldn't, but never without our permission, never without us giving him ground. Satan is not an abstraction. He is real, and he uses people, including people in the church. Ephesians 6 is not written to idol worshippers and unbelievers. It was written to the people in the church at Ephesus. Satan wants to work in the church, using it for his evil purposes. He is strong and powerful. In the Bible, he is described as a lion, a dragon, and a destroyer. But he is the father of lies. His strategies and wiles are subtle and deadly. He is organized. He has a whole army of demonic forces at his command. Therefore, we must know our enemy, use the armor we have been given, and depend on the energy and strength that God alone can provide if we are going to win our war with the enemy. But if we are going to effectively use our armor, we must invest the time. The Christian life is a growth process. Before we can walk with Christ and run the race set before us, we must first learn how to stand. In Ephesians 4:14, Paul stressed the importance of growing up and maturing as Christians. Those who don't mature are like small children. Children are very naive. They believe anything or anyone. They lack the experience and education to exercise discernment. Unfortunately, some of God's children have no discernment either. They will listen to a television, radio, or internet evangelist, or read a book by some author, and lack the discernment to recognize false doctrine. However, if we mature as believers, We will not be tricked and led astray by Satan's cunning craftiness and methodology. How will we stand against Satan's strategies? By putting on the whole armor of God. It is vital that we wear all the armor God has given us and not just some of it, Wiersbe declares. If we do not use all the equipment, then Satan will attack us at some unguarded place. The enemy is a master at finding that one small spot we have left unprotected. Often Christians fall into a trap of thinking that they don't need a certain piece of armor. However, if we leave any piece out, we are exercising pride. We're basically saying, God, I don't need that part of the armor. I've got that area of my life all under control. Yet have you ever noticed that when the great men and women of the Bible sinned, they always fell in the areas of their greatest strength? What was Moses' greatest strength? He was the meekest man on earth. Yet he lost his temper, struck the rock instead of speaking to it, and took credit for producing the water. As a result, he lost the privilege of entering the promised land. Peter failed in his greatest area of strength, his courage. His faith and courage faltered when he was walking on the water, but probably his greatest failure was his denial of the Lord Jesus 3 times. David's greatest strength was his integrity. He was a man after God's own heart. But this is where he failed when he moved into duplicity, lying and leading a double life. When you begin to believe that you've conquered a certain area of your life and do not need God's protection for it, that is the very area where Satan will attack you. We must learn to be alert and recognize his tactics. We can learn much about Satan's tactics by examining the different pieces of the Christian armor. God has designed each part of the armor to protect us from the enemy's many methods of warfare. Recognizing the enemy's maneuvers and using the appropriate pieces of armor will enable us to successfully defend ourselves in battle. Wiersbe tells us, the first tactic that Satan successfully uses against us is division. He knows that if he can divide our loyalties so that we are not concentrating on the battle, he can defeat us. We cannot be looking in 2 directions at the same time, at God and at the world. We cannot have our hearts and minds in heaven and on earth at the same time. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James 1:8. What is our weapon against Satan's divisiveness? It is the girdle of truth. Satan is not only the divider, but he is also the denouncer and accuser. He loves to stand before the throne of God and accuse God's children. He also works in our minds, constantly reminding us of our past mistakes and sins. We need the breastplate of righteousness to ward off these accusations. If we do not remember that we have been justified and made righteous in Christ, we will have no answer to the enemy's accusations. The third piece of armor is the shoes of peace. It may seem strange to imagine a soldier wearing shoes of peace, but interestingly enough, God's word exhorts us, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We are armored for battle against evil, and the only way to combat evil is with righteousness. The only antidote for war is peace. Because we stand in peace, resting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan cannot destroy us. Not only does Satan try to divide, denounce, and destroy us, but he also uses doubt as a means of defeating us. He loves to throw the fiery darts of doubt at us. What can we do when we are being attacked by doubts? We need to use the shield of faith to ward off the darts. While we cannot stop the fiery darts of doubt from being thrown at us, we can protect ourselves with the shield of faith. Faith in what? Faith in the Word of God and in the God of the Word. And if throwing fiery darts of doubt weren't enough, Satan also likes to discourage us. He assails us with setbacks and frustrations until we're ready to quit. The enemy knows that when a soldier loses hope, he has lost the battle. How do we fight feelings of discouragement and hopelessness? We put on the helmet of salvation. The word salvation means victory. God is handing us His helmet of salvation. All we need to do is receive it. When we have experienced God's salvation, we have hope to keep us going in the midst of discouragement. Our conqueror is coming, and one day He will deliver us. Denial is another one of Satan's tactics that he successfully uses against the Christian. He denies the faith. He denies the resurrection. He denies everything the Word of God teaches us. But we have a most effective weapon in combating Satan's denials. We have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. When Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, He used the sword. In each of the three temptations, Jesus responded with the words, "It is written." The Bible tells us that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12. Satan is using every evil tactic he can think of to defeat us. That is why we need the whole armor of God. But it is not enough just to know the enemy and to use the equipment the Lord has given us. We must also depend upon the strength and energy that God provides. We gain renewed energy and strength for the battle through prayer. That is why we are told to pray without ceasing. When we pray, we should not only make requests of God, but we should also spend time in thanksgiving and praise to Him, and in making supplication for others. It is vital that we are always attentive, including in our times of prayer. For Jesus warned, "Watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation." Matthew 26:41. The secret to prayer is perseverance, and prayer is the means by which we receive God's unlimited source of power and strength. Why must we be strong in the Lord? Because the enemy is strong, because the day is evil, because the outcome is serious. We are fighting a battle. However, too many people today are trying to live on substitutes rather than depending on God's strength and resources. We must be strong because the outcome is serious for God. Is He going to receive the glory? The outcome is serious for us. Are we going to be victors or victims? And the outcome is serious for others. Are we going to be stumbling blocks or stepping stones for them? Why must we be strong, prepared, and ready for battle? Because Jesus paid dearly for victory. So put on the armor He has bought for you with His precious blood and claim victory in Him. If you would like to learn in detail the functions and applications of the elements that create the whole armor of God, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, then order your copy of What to Wear to the War by Warren Wiersbe today. It can be found online and is currently available in paperback. And one final note from the Fireside Bookshelf. None of the books featured on this program are ever intended to replace the Bible and the need for immersing ourselves in God's Word on a daily basis. And just because a book is recommended doesn't mean that all writings and all teachings by an author are recommended. Remember, you, the reader, must always read with discernment. And while no book besides the Bible can be all things to all people, our hope here at the Fireside Bookshelf is to present a variety of Christian resources that seek to remain faithful to biblical truth and which provide insights to help strengthen and deepen your spiritual walk.
If today's featured book has sparked your interest or addressed an area of concern for you or a friend, we hope you will consider adding a copy to your library of Christian resources. Nowadays, when busyness seems to be our business, we need to return to the lost art of reading so that we will continue learning more of God's Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to transform hearts and minds. The Fireside Bookshelf is a ministry of sharing hearts and can be heard on this station every Sunday at 4 p.m. Past episodes can be found anytime at www.sharonhearts.org. Thank you for joining us, and tune in next week for our next exciting feature here at the Fireside Bookshelf.